Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
As we enjoy this season of resurrection, this Easter season, we celebrate that God conquered death. And when God conquered death, God gave each of us the promise of resurrection, resurrection in the next life and in this life. In this worship series called Emerge, we started in darkness, like a caterpillar in the cocoon, a darkness of despair and pain, or maybe just a darkness that's comfortable and warm. And then we heard the call to leave familiar places, comfortable places, a leaving that could not be undone, like leaving the cocoon. And once emerged, we wake up. We find a gift in the effort, and we unfold, waiting for wings in that awkward in-betweenness. And today, with wings dry and ready, we let go. We leave behind what we don't need. I learned a little bit about letting go walking the Camino. I am just back from a week walking the Camino de Santiago. It is a walking pilgrimage that has been in use for over 1,000 years. Pilgrims walked to Santiago to visit the burial of St. James the Apostle. St. James in Spanish is Santiago. And so they would walk, they would make pilgrimage, looking for God in the destination, finding God in the journey, hoping that the physical act of walking would bring them closer to God. There are actually multiple Caminos. The primary one is the Camino Francés, and it's about 500 miles.
I didn't do the whole 500 miles. I did the last 73 miles. And one of the traditions on the Camino is that you leave a rock. People bring a rock with them, or they pick one up along the way, and they leave it as a sign of letting go. Letting go of burdens or difficulties or sin or grief. Usually people leave their stone at the Cruz de Ferro, the Iron Cross, and you can see this huge mountain of rocks left by pilgrims over the centuries. My route didn't take me by this cross, and so I left my stone instead at the base, my rock at the base of a stone cross in a little village, little town. And by little town, I mean 10 or 20 houses close together. And many of them have stone crosses like this. So I put mine at the base right there. I brought that rock from here. I carried it with me as I was preparing and getting ready. It came with me over the Atlantic. I carried it in my pack for 2 days before I put it down. I prayed about what I needed to let go of. I asked God for discernment, because sometimes what I come up with is not what God's best wish for me is. When I left home, I had a vague idea of what I needed to let go of, what that rock meant. By the time I got there and had carried it with me for 2 days and prayed along the way, it was clear to me what that rock was that I needed to let go of. And it was my hypervigilance at keeping everyone safe. You see, for a long time, our home was not safe. Our oldest adopted child was threatening, was unpredictable, occasionally violent. We thought he would grow out of it. We thought that with all the right treatment, it would get better. It didn't. We asked for help. We reached out for help like they say you're supposed to, when what we got was more appointments and no change at home. And so for 11 years, I lived hypervigilant, keeping the girls safe, keeping Xavier safe, keeping the house safe, keeping me safe, because I was a target. And that the truth is, I'm calling it hypervigilance. It looks a lot like being controlling, because it is. But it's no longer needed. And it was damaging me and damaging my family. And it was time to let it go. and I laid it at the base of that cross, leaving it with Jesus, and I backed up. And it was powerful, and it was difficult, and it's still difficult every day. I remember, you've let that go. You can let that go. And it's still hard. Letting go, even of stuff that is hard, even of stuff we want to let go, is difficult. It requires trust in God, that God will show up and be there. I had to trust that my hypervigilance was no longer needed, that God had it covered, and I don't need to do it all. Perhaps some of you are carrying something that served you for a while, but no longer is needed, that has become damaging to you and to those you care about. Well, caterpillars get you, because caterpillars know all about that. After transforming into the cocoon, and the cocoon splits and the butterfly emerges, it hangs there on the branch as the wings unfold and unfurl. It can't go back into the cocoon, even if it wanted to. And this butterfly, which has never had wings before, if it is gonna fly, it has to let go. Holding on to the branch is no longer helpful. As a caterpillar, holding onto the branch is a good idea. As a caterpillar, letting go means falling. As a butterfly, letting go means soaring. It reminds me of a mantra that I've heard some folks in theater arts that they use before a performance or before an audition. And it is gulp, leap, soar. Because it can be frightening to go out on stage, to go in front of an audition and be judged. And it can, you know, you can, sometimes people will say, you know, forget it, I want to give up. Or sometimes we struggle with demons whispering lies in our ears that we're not good enough, we don't deserve it, whatever the lie is. So the first step is gulp. Pause, feet on the ground, take a breath. Take a breath, the breath of life. It's been said that fear is excitement without breath. So give it some breath. And then it's time to take that first step, to leap, to say the first word, to sing the first note, to dance the first step, to venture into the unknown, to let go of the discomfort. The risk is real, do it anyway. And then soar. You're on the precipice of greatness, and it is only after you leap, vulnerable as you are, that you can soar. Discovering that that air holds you up, and that the God you trusted turns out to be trustworthy. Until you gulp and leap, you'll never fly, you'll never soar. You won't feel the wind under your wings, you won't feel your own strength. So that butterfly lets go of the branch for the very first time. It's never done this before. As a transformed butterfly, it is able to do things it never could do before. So that butterfly has good reason to doubt, based on its past. The butterfly also has good reason to trust, based on its possibilities, based on God's possibilities. And isn't that how it is with the spiritual life? We have good reason to doubt. We have things in our past, we have our burdens, we have our shortcomings, we have our challenges, our difficulties. We have good reason to doubt. And we have good reason to trust. We have good reason to trust based on God's power and God's possibilities. Now, in order to fly, that butterfly needed wings that had unfolded and dried. It needed air to push against. It needed warmth to move fast enough. And it needed to let go. In the spiritual life, we bring our own selves, strong and gifted and ready, and we have to let go. We have to let go and rely on a power outside of ourselves. There are a lot of changes in the butterfly, and one of them is the proboscis and how it eats and what it eats. When it emerges from the cocoon, it has a proboscis here, not chomper teeth like a caterpillar. So as a caterpillar, it was chomping and eating leaves. As a butterfly, it unrolls the proboscis, which is like a tube, so it can suck up nectar from flowers. Well, the people of God, ancient Israelites, knew all about doubt and changes in food. Every one of them who had been saved from slavery and was wandering out in the desert, they were free now, but every one of them had grown up enslaved. What did they know about living free? God had shown up and saved them, and everything changed. Everything changed. They were out in the wilderness. They were living in tents. Well, that part might not have changed, but they were in an unknown place with unknown threats, with unknown food. And you know what? We human beings, we don't do especially well with the unknown. It's been said that we will often choose familiar suffering over unfamiliar freedom. It's actually hard to leave what's familiar and what's known. People of God knew this. They were feeling that insecurity, so they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. These are the words from the book of Exodus. Oh, how I wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by our pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you have brought us out into the desert to starve the whole assembly to death. Well, that's a little dramatic. So we get a sense that they were feeling pretty stressed out, lots of anxiety. These people of God, saved from slavery, struggled to be free. They struggled to be free. So God gave them new food to eat, manna. It was sweet, tasted like honey bread or honey crackers. It was like eating donuts every day. God sent quail. So these folks were eating chicken and donuts every day. And they were slow to figure it out. God fed them on chicken and donuts for 40 years while they figured it out. Maybe a taste of heaven. And we aren't too different from those people of God. We want change, and then when it comes, we're like, I don't know if I want that change. People who've been in the church a long time will often think wistfully back to the days when everything was familiar, when the prayer was familiar, and the carpet was the right color, and everything in the kitchen was in the right spot. Even if they didn't like the way it was back then, it was familiar. I was at a ministry conference on leadership, talking about changes in the world and changes in the church, and the speaker, Todd Bolsinger, said every church has a back to Egypt committee. Sometimes it's just within us, you know, I can even feel it. Unknown is hard. Change is destabilizing. It's destabilizing for the community. It's hard on the leader. And it is the only way forward. It's the only way forward. We have to leap, just like the butterfly, into the unknown, trusting that God is there. Trust God. Let go. Leave behind what you don't need. I want to tell you about somebody who did just that. Malala Yousafzai. Perhaps some of you have seen her face before. She grew up in Pakistan, in an area of Pakistan called Swat. It's high in the Hindu Kush Mountains with amazing natural beauty. We Idahoans know a thing or two about that. When she was growing up, the Taliban controlled the area, and they banned girls from school. She was an advocate for girls' education, just like her father, who was an advocate for girls' education. Her dad actually homeschooled her. At 11 years old, she started a blog under a pseudonym describing her life as a girl living under the Taliban. Pretty soon, she was contacted by a journalist from the New York Times who asked to make a documentary about her life. She gave interviews. She became a known spokesperson for education. In 2011, she received Pakistan's first National Youth Peace Prize. And then in 2012, on October 9th, she was shot. She was shot by a Taliban gunman, she and two other girls. She was shot in the head. She was unconscious for a long time. Miraculously, she survived. And then she had a choice to make. Would she withdraw? Or would she let go of fear and continue the work that God had called her to? And she chose to let go, to gulp, leap, and soar. In 2014, at 17 years old, she got the Nobel Peace Prize. She's not 17 anymore. And she continues working as a global advocate for education. We Christians, I mean, what transforms us is that God conquered death. And that when God conquered death, God can be trusted with anything, even us. Even us and our broken lives. And that God is there in the air, waiting to carry us, waiting to lift us up. And our challenge is only to let go and leave behind what we no longer need. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.